the podcast for all your running needs.
Ned, he was a terminally happy guy. And Ned, he ate a moldy pumpkin pie. And Ned, he thought that he just couldn't die. And Ned, he laughed so hard it made me cry.
Welcome to the Run, Run, Live podcast. This is the podcast for runners, wannabe runners, and mid-packers of all shapes and sizes who just want to strap on their favorite pair of shoes and get out there. This is Chris, your host. And that's because I couldn't get any of you lazy son of a guns to do my intro for me. I had to do it myself. Listen to the podcast. Wherever and whenever this episode finds you, I hope you're doing great. I hope you're getting your run in today. I'm getting a run in today. I'm going to go out. It's about 35 degrees out. It's a little rainy, but I'm still going to go running. So you ready to have some fun? Come on. Let's go for a run.
So here's my question to you.
Okay.
Do I look like what you thought I would look like?
Yes, you look exactly like you
do
look
I,
like a Boston. You
do
look
I
like a
sound
Boston
like and act like you thought I was going to sound like or act like.
You're a little bit more abrasive than I thought you were going to be. You sound so cheerful and happy.
Ed Bellow on my podcast,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. And you're a Bostonian. Like you've got that. Like
I'm aggressive.
After hanging out with you for like 3 minutes, I was like, oh yeah, he's from Boston. All right, yeah, you fit along with
all right,
Boston.
All right.
Now what I say? What's the big idea? Bashing me on the noggin with a rolling pin. Clunk enough, people, and we'll have a nation of lump heads.
Nice work, buddy. He just threw an enormous log out into the pond. He's dragging it back in. He's a lifeguard. He's rescuing it. Good job. I don't think you can get in over there. You gotta come over here. Oh, no. See, you're stuck. Oh, am I gonna have to rescue you? All right. Nice work. That's okay. Leave the stick. Just come back in. Don't drown. It's okay. So anyhow, yeah, I'm out down the pond. Nice October day. It's Monday. Oh, he's going back to the stick. He says, damn the vines. Full speed ahead. Oh, they keep him busy anyhow. That's okay. I'm a pretty strong swimmer. I could get him if I had to. Ran the Marine Corps Marathon yesterday. So it's just such a beautiful day, though, that I had to take the dog for a run. So I'm doing my normal 10K loop. Just taking a little jog. Flush a little junk out of the legs. Yeah, I didn't have a real good race. But I raced, you know, I raced the race that I planned to. It just didn't turn out. All roses. Sometimes that happens. Went out pretty fast. My plan was to go out with the 320 pace group and just see how long I could hold it. And my strategy was just, you know, give back time if I had to, but try to give it back gracefully in the high miles. But no, I just didn't have the legs. I hit the half at about 137 at about a 315 pace. And then even before then, like 12 mile, I was starting to lose altitude. But the 320 pace guy was running a 315 race. And I said to him, I said, dude, you're running like, you're 3 minutes up on your pace. And he was like, oh, trust the pace. And he just took off. So I don't know if I would have been real happy if I was actually running in the 320 pace group with that guy. But I let them go around the half, and then I just started losing altitude. I walked a lot at the end. So, you know, shit happens. But didn't have the legs. Like I was saying, I didn't have enough of that long tempo, those long races. I nailed it. So, yeah, I didn't hit the wall. I mean, I felt fine. I had plenty of physical energy, and my heart rate was good, and my breathing was good. I just didn't have the legs. The legs wouldn't do it. The legs wouldn't do it for me. So just conditioning issue. I may have overtrained. I may have overtrained. But you never know. Oh, man, it's beautiful down there. The lake's like glass. The trees are all orange and red and brown. Mostly oak trees now. Most of the maples have lost all their leaves. It's about 50, 55. Sunny. Sun's starting to go down. I took the day off because whenever I don't take the day off after a marathon, I always wish I had. And then when I do, like today, I'm like, why did I take the day off? I feel fine. Yeah, so I do. I feel fine. My quads are a little sore, but other than that, you know, I'm fine. So what do I do now, right? I guess I'll double down. I'll find a marathon next couple of weeks someplace close or two and just go treat this one like a long run because this is typically what I have in the high in a training program. So I'll go out and I'll race a 20-miler. and find out that I had 17 miles in me, which is essentially what happened yesterday, and that'll help me with my actual event. So we'll treat this like a long run. You know, the only thing I can think of that I could do could have done differently, I don't know what I could have done differently. If I had more cycles, I think one more cycle would have been good to do some over mileage and some long tempo. But, hey, you know, you work with what your schedule gives you. I'm happy to be breathing. I'm happy to be above ground. So, yeah, it was all good. Met some nice people down there. But, yeah, seriously, it was great to meet those guys. It's good to be back, though. I got some thinking to do. I'm reading Once a Runner. Man, it just makes you want to run. Makes you want to run long. Makes you want to run fast. I mean, it is a flawed book, but the parts about running are right on, spot on. It's a wise book for runners. So anyhow, hope you guys are having a great week. Everybody's been posting some great times, some great stuff. So, all right, on with the show.
Pay attention, son. This is for your own good.
Welcome to episode 93 of the Run, Run, Live podcast. We're getting up there, huh? Today, I interview a gentleman named Mark, who goes by the moniker Run Jordy Run, and he's mounting a campaign to run across the United States for charity. And this is the first of two interviews that I'm doing for people that are doing this, running across the U.S. for charity. And I find it interesting that the barrier to entry for running across the U.S. seems to be dropping. You know, much like everything else in our endurance sports arena, it's also accessible and normal these days. I guess you won't be able to walk out your front door without tripping over an endurance athlete on some quixotic quest in a few years. So maybe it's just our rat race of Western society that drives them to it. What do you think? Are you having a good week? Are you contemplating running across the U.S. or some other handy continent? I personally ran the Marine Corps Marathon last Sunday. Had a fun weekend. It was a good adventure. I don't really believe in race reports. And I don't think they're particularly interesting because to me they all sound the same. So I'll give you mine here in haiku form. Super early pace at mile 13, gravity. Then I struggled in. Only race I'm signed up for is a Thanksgiving morning 5K. So it's time for us to scheme about what to do next. The woods are lovely, dark, and deep, but I have promises to keep and miles to go before I sleep. On with the show.
Almost had a gag, son. Joke, that is.
Hey, Chris, this is Dan, Dan Tetsy, Buckeye Outdoor on Twitter. Just finished listening to your episode 91. Outstanding, as always. Anyways, just had a couple of good things. I love the review of the New Balance 800s. I was actually thinking about going with those. I've been trying to convert over to 4 foot and been running mostly with the ASICS Hyperspeed, which are basically just running flats, and it seems to be working out pretty well, but I was thinking about going with the 800s. And also, great interview about the sleeves. Question for you, something you may want to comment on or do something about is I'm in the process now. I run Chicago, and I'm training now, going to run New York in a couple weeks, and I might be doing the Route 66 marathon in Tulsa, Oklahoma, a couple weeks after. And one of the things that might be interesting to hear about is your thoughts on doing multiple marathons that are, say, less than a month apart, something like that. Anyway, just a thought. Keep up the good work. Looking forward to episodes 92 through 100 and beyond. Thanks a lot, Chris. You really helped the miles go by.
I got a splitting headache.
So, Dan, that's all I am to you, just another form of anesthesia for your long runs. I'm troubled by that. You put in some good miles. You should see Dan on Buckeye. He puts in some miles. He's the real deal. Running multiple races in multiple weeks like that, I have actually done that a few times. Mostly, it depends on how fast you recover and what you're doing in that race. You say you ran Chicago. You know, that's if you raced it and left everything on the course, it might take you a month to get your legs back. But, you know, if you didn't kill yourself, you're already in shape. You might as well run some more marathons. I mean, it's not going to kill you if you've got the training in. Just be careful on your recovery because, especially with the road marathons, it's a good way to get things like stress fractures or if you're harboring some hidden flaws, they'll come out if you put that kind of stress on them. So just watch yourself. Take it easy. Good to know. Everybody had great weather at Chicago. All the marathons, Marine Corps, great weather. So if you got a ticket to Boston, you qualify for Boston, get your registration in because it's going to sell out. I'm guessing the middle of December this year, maybe sooner, because there's a lot of qualifiers out there. But Dan, you know, let me know how it goes on. You're a senior enough runner to know what your body feels like and what it's going to tell you to do. Just watch, you know, if you get some aches and pains, make sure you're not going to give yourself a stress fracture or something like that.
Oh, that woman. Got a mouth like an outboard motor. All the time. Put, 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 put.
And now for our featured interview.
All right, so we're back. Mark, are you there?
I'm there, Chris.
Hey, so Mark, why is it Geordie, or is it Geordie or Geordie?
Geordie.
Geordie. Why is it Geordie? You've been confusing me because I'm getting communication from Geordie and Mark.
Well, it relates to where I live and where I come from, which is in the northeast of England.
Ah.
And people from this region of England are called Geordies. I'll not go into the history of it, but it goes back a few hundred years.
So this is like somebody would say, run, Yank, run to me, right?
Yes, run, Forest, run type of thing.
Yeah, okay. So anyhow, I have with me Mark, and he is going to run across the United States next year, right? 2011?
Yeah, 2011. May 2011 to August 2011. It's 100 days in total.
Yeah, and this is going to be on top of a couple of other, it's a progression for you where you, a couple years ago or 2007, you ran across England. Before that, you had done some other stuff starting back to 1994. So why don't you introduce yourself and tell us the story?
Okay.
Bring us up to date.
Okay, as you said there, it all started in 1994. It didn't start in the best of circumstances because the thing that got me into running was the fact that my mom, my mother, should I say, had cancer, unfortunately, in 1994. And she had to use the services of a local hospice. And the doctors and nurses there, you know, made her very comfortable. And she saw out her final days there battling cancer, unfortunately. So it was a short time after that I felt this need to repay the debt of gratitude towards the doctors and nurses who looked after my mother and allow them to continue the good work that they do in some small way, you know, and to give something back. So that's how it all started, and the idea was, well, I could do a run, I could do a sponsored run. And the good thing about the northeast of England, we've got a half marathon here called the Great North Run. It's the biggest half marathon on the planet. Over 50,000 people ran it this year in September, and that's how it all started for me, just a 13-mile run, which it took 7 or 8 months to train for, but that was the start of a long period of build-up to things like the London Marathon, the New York Marathon. I've run from coast to coast, west to east, and also from north to south, from John O'Groats to Land's End. That was the last
state. I want an opportunity to say John Groats, O'Groats Land.
John O'Groats.
That's kind of fun to say. So,
well, John O'Groats is on the top, at the top right of England. Sorry, the top right of Scotland, should I say? And Land's End is the bottom left of England. So, in the United Kingdom, it's as far as you can go, you know, distance-wise. Top right to bottom left. It's 874 miles. The route I took, and I did that in 36 days. I had one rest day. And that raised £34,000 for the hospice, which was a phenomenal amount. And that, as I say, that was my last biggest run that I did, fundraising-wise, and the next one will be in 2 years' time.
So have you always been a runner, or was this sort of new?
Well, not at school. I wasn't the most physically able. You know, I was always last picked on the team. You know, I was stuck in goal in football, or soccer, as you guys call it.
Yeah.
I think now I'm learning. I've got a bit of a talent. I'm not the best runner in the world, but you know I've got a big heart, and I can sure get from A to B. And no matter what that distance is, that's one of my assets now. I think, you know, I've got great mental strength. I've got decent physical strength. I'm sure that there are far more better runners out there than I am. But it's the determination and the mental side that I've got that's one of my assets.
Yeah. So Mark, you've got an ability to suffer like so many of my ultra athlete friends.
Absolutely, yes. And knowing that through my suffering, I mean, if you can call it that, it's raising funds for St. Benedict's Hospice, and the next one will also raise funds for the Children's Foundation, which is a charity in the northeast of England supporting children's services up here. You know, it makes it a lot easier. You know, the suffering is nothing really compared to the benefit that those charities are going to get out of the funds that are raised.
Yeah, and I noticed that you're doing a I would almost call it like a promotion, right, with these events. So you've gotten good at the tie-in of what you're doing to the charity and raising the money. So that there's a certain skill or process behind that. Tell me how you developed that fundraising panache, as it were.
Well, I think first and foremost, you've got to be absolutely shameless as a fundraiser. You haven't got to be afraid of asking people to sponsor you for half marathon, a marathon, running the length of the country, whatever. You know, you've got to be shameless, as I say. And that's the fundamental thing. But then you've got to use, you know, the tools such as the internet is such a powerful tool to promote events, runs, raise sponsorship. Indeed, it's brought us two together in this meeting today. Without the internet, so many things wouldn't be possible. So without the internet, I don't think I would have raised £34,000 the last time. And I don't think I wouldn't raise £50,000 the next time. That's the next target.
So are you seeing mostly individuals that you're connecting? Like, I see you do a lot on Facebook. You do a lot with your blog. Some on Twitter. Do you see it's mostly individuals involved in this fundraising, or do you also get corporate sponsorship?
The majority are individuals, but I've got Brooks Sports on board. They supply my kit, so I've had lots of pairs of trainers so far and nice pairs of shorts and base layers. I'm going through quite a lot of kit, so they're being very good. A local shop called Northern Runner, who've sponsored my website. There's a company I'm in talks with at the moment called Peter's Pies. There's a company who paid for the production of T-shirts that I sell to raise funds. So despite the run being 2 years away, you know, commercial people are coming on board all of the time, and I think more and more people will come on board as the months progress towards the run.
All right. It seems like you have a job as well. So how do you work all this running in and about your job that, you know, keeps paying the bills?
Yeah, that's quite difficult. So not only a job, but a six-year-old son as well, Jack, who demands a lot of time, as children do, which is great. So I don't see friends as much as I should or as much as I used to, so that's gone out of the window. I don't go out socialising as much as I used to, so all I seem to do is run on the morning, go to work, pick my son up from school, run on an evening, eat and sleep, and then it starts all over again.
Does your son give you any grief about running too much?
Not at all, no. As much as a six-year-old can be, I think he appears to be very proud of what I'm doing, and I hope one day that if he wants to, he'll follow in my footsteps and do similar things, but that's for him to decide, but I think he's quite proud of what I'm doing.
Oh, that's great. So what kind of, I notice you're, you know, if I do the math here, you're planning to run what, like 20 to 30 miles a day?
Well, it's 3,100 miles. There's an official route of, I think, 3,084 miles, which takes me to Central Park in New York. But I want to make it a coast-to-coast run, so I need to go on a bit further, get to the Atlantic. So it's going to be on or about 3,100 miles. That will be done in 100 days. So 31 miles a day average is how I see it working out.
All right. Well, I mean, you really don't want to go to New York. You should continue on up here to Boston.
Yes.
You should go with all the way up to Boston and see us up here, where it's snowing this morning, by the way.
Ah, brilliant.
Yeah, I guess. You seem to have like a two-year training schedule you've got going, where you've actually got a plan to get you to the 31 miles a day.
Yes.
By training for 2 years straight. What's that training plan like?
Well, I'm almost a year into the training plan now, and it started off running 40 to 50 miles a week. I've peaked at 90 miles a week. I think, for example, this week I'm doing 70 miles, but within that 70 miles, there's a lot of 5, 6, and 7-mile runs, a lot of speed work this week. Next week, there'll be longer runs. The following week, I've got a 37-mile run, and this is my second attempt at 37 miles. That will take me up to a year's worth of training so far. And I think if I was to start the main run in a couple of weeks' time, I could probably do it at a push, but there'd be a lot of pain, and it would be extremely difficult. So the next 18 months will all be about, you know, making it a lot easier, getting used to to more considerable distances, not having as much recovery time as I'd like, and just trying to put my body under as much stress as I can. And by the time I come to run across America, it won't seem too bad in theory. And that's the sort of tactic I used when I ran from John O'Groats to Land's End, and I did that in I had 36 days of running with one day of rest, so it wasn't too bad. Although the next run is 3.5 times the distance, 3.5 times the difficulty, I think. So that's the sort of rough plan. I'll leave the thinking behind it to the scientists, but that's the rough plan. It's a no rest, no recovery kind of schedule.
What did you learn from your first couple of long, cross country runs? What have you learned that you can apply to this one?
Well, the thing that surprised me was the fact that you not only need to have the physical strength and endurance, but it's the mental side as well. You've got to have enough courage and mental stamina, if you like, to get through these events. John O'Groats to Land's End, it started off, I would say, needing about 80% physical strength, 20% mental strength. By the time I got near to Land's End, 800 miles later, that almost flipped on its head. It was 20% physical strength, but 80% mental strength just to get me to the end. So it's that kind of thing, really.
One of the things I've heard talking to other people who've done things like this, most notably, and a guy you should probably reach out to, is Dave McGilvery, the race director for the Boston Marathon. He's run across the United States a couple times, and he did it back before it was so popular. The things I notice is that people tend to, they start out strong, and then maybe a quarter of the way in, they start getting some sort of phantom pain. Will get really, really physically painful. But then someplace towards after the halfway point, all the pain will go away, and it'll just become a wholly different level of experience. I mean, did you find that?
Well, you've just described there in a couple of sentences my experience from John O'Groats to Land's End. That's exactly what happened. The route I took at the start was through the highlands of Scotland, very hilly, lots of climbing, lots of descent as well. It wasn't until, I would say, 300 to 400 miles into the run that I started to settle into it, and it became natural. My body expected almost that it needed to run that kind of mileage every day. I was running a maximum of 28 miles a day. I think the average was just over 24 miles a day. But yeah, you've just hit the nail on the head there, and hopefully that's what will happen next time. Although the pain was absolutely considerable, I had tendonitis, shin splints, had a hamstring problem, but I had so much sponsor money riding on it, I just could not give up, and that kept us going as much as anything. Yeah.
So it's amazing. It almost seems like your body figures it out after a little bit while. Says, okay, I guess he's not going to stop, so we'll stop. We'll just get with the program and go with it.
Yes, I just think the body adapts to the conditions that it has to adapt to. I'm a great believer in that.
With all this, you've gotten a certain amount of exposure. Have you met any cool people, or how has this expanded your world?
The coolest people I've met are the fundraisers associated with St. Benedict's Hospice and the Children's Foundation. Every time I speak to them, they continue to inspire me and motivate me. And the fact that it's a bit of a no-brainer, really. I just put one foot in front of the other. People sponsor me for that, and I, and the charities benefit, and the end recipients of those charities benefit. It's just a great process, really. So that I've met some marvelous people via Twitter and Facebook, and people who just have stumbled across my blog and get in touch and have lots of kind wishes. I was involved in a video shoot a few weeks ago for the Children's Foundation. I played a small part in that, and that was used to promote the services of the Children's Foundation. And that was shown at a fundraising evening, and the evening raised £107,000 for the Children's Foundation. So that was...
Wow.
That was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I'll let you do the conversion to dollars. It's an impressive amount.
Yeah. All right, that's pretty cool. So give us the particulars. Give us the website. Talk slowly and clearly. Everything you want people to find so they can go throw some quid in your direction.
Well, my website is www.rungeordierun.com.
Okay.
I'm spelling Geordie, Geordie. And there's a link to the popular Just Giving site that's used by many fundraisers in this country. There's a link there where you can donate, and the money goes directly to the charities. So that's very convenient. So, yeah, I'd appreciate it if anybody could make a pledge and help me get towards the fundraising target. That would be great.
You're not the only person I've run across who's running across the United States. It's almost like climbing Everest at this point, where they have the lines of people going up each spring. Are you think you're going to run into other people running across the states when you're out there?
You never know who you're going to meet. I wouldn't rule that out. I'm expecting to see Tom Hanks actually with a beard.
Yeah.
So, I think the film Forrest Gump probably inspired me to do this next particular run. That's where the idea came from.
Yeah.
And I saw that film back in 1994-5, just as I started to run. So I think it's been at the back of my mind that one day I wanted to run across America, although 15 years ago that suggestion would seem ridiculous, but I'm now on the verge of making that a reality. It's difficult to comprehend when you think about it in those terms.
So which route are you taking? You're taking the sort of the northern route, right? Where do you cross the Rockies?
Right. So I think there's about 14 states that I go through. I'm starting in Huntington Beach in California.
Yep.
Then Nevada, a little bit of Arizona, Utah. I'm hoping to get out of Vegas in one piece.
So you're crossing over like at around Lake Tahoe up there somewhere?
Colorado is the Rockies, I suppose. Is it Boulder Pass? That's the
Boulder Pass. Yep.
Yeah.
Got it.
About 11,300 feet, I believe.
Yep.
And thereafter.
And when are you starting? What month?
May.
Yeah. So it's going to be some rough running up there, my friend.
Yes, yes. And I've had a few training weeks in hot climates. I ran in Egypt this year, for example, and I came through that unscathed, about 35 degrees. I think that's about my sort of limit of comfort. But I'm mentally prepared for that. I'm hoping to be physically prepared by 2011 for that kind of climate.
Great. Well, as you have these events and stuff, send us tweets so we can retweet them for you and give you some exposure.
Yes, we'll do.
And thanks for coming on. And the one question I always have for people is if you're talking right now to a couple of thousand runners, a couple thousand individuals, what's the message that you would leave them with? What would be your top three things you'd leave people with?
Top three, well, I suppose the first one is, have a good plan and stick to it. Try and stick to it, no matter how difficult it may seem, Never give up. That's an important message. Whether that's a 3-mile run, a 30-mile run, never give up.
Right.
And I suppose just try your best. And hopefully your best is good enough. And it usually is, as far as I'm concerned. And you've got to get to that level where, you've got to train that hard where if you do give it your best, you've got a very, very good chance of succeeding in something.
And isn't it amazing how these things seem so far out of reach at one point, but when you actually set the plan and start to execute, they're amazingly doable. I mean, not without effort, but they're accomplishable.
Yes. Sometimes you need to take a step back and think about that, and it does amaze me sometimes about, the run from John O'Groats to Land's End, the next run across the USA. These things are achievable, and I'm just an ordinary person, an ordinary runner. I'm not an athlete by any means, and these things are achievable. So, my advice to people is have a goal, try your best, never give up, and, you'll probably succeed in the end.
That's awesome. Set big goals, too.
Yes, absolutely.
And in the process, you're helping other people, which is great. You're giving something back.
Yes, yes. Without the fundraising element to this and without the charities benefiting from this, I don't think I would be running. So that is my sole motivation, really.
All right. Well, best of luck to you and hope you get your run in today. I'll let you go.
I've just done a 6-mile run. I've got a 7-mile run to do tonight and then a couple of runs tomorrow, which brings the training week to an end, and that'll be 70 miles for the week, which will be good.
And this is a peak week for you.
Well, I do two back-to-back running weeks, and then I do a week in the gym, spinning classes, some high-intensity interval training on various cross trainers, a bit of weights as well. So it's 2 weeks of running, 1 week of gym, and then it starts all over again.
Well, good luck to you, my friend.
Thanks a lot, Chris.
We'll be looking for you in 2011 up here in Boston.
Excellent.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, cheers, Chris.
Here's today's quick tips.
Okay, I'll shut up. I'm not one that has to keep talking. Some fellas just have to keep their mouths flapping, but not me. I was brought up right. My pa used to tell me shut up, and I'd shut up. I wouldn't say nothing. One time darn near starved to death. Wouldn't tell him I was hungry.
Some great questions from Josh, the Boston cardio vet, who is a new runner. And he said, why don't you talk about things that new runners care about. So at some point, I'll do a whole new runner sort of show. Maybe I'll get Josh on and we'll just do a back and forth. But he specifically was asking about the cold weather. If you're in the northern hemisphere, I apologize to people from South Africa and Australia and New Zealand who might be listening. because I'll be out of cycle for you. But if you up here, it's getting cold where I am. We had snow this previous week. And his question was, you know, what do I wear? What do I do? Is it safe to run outside and breathe that cold air? How cold can it get before it's not safe anymore? Well, first of all, folks, that whole thing about not running in the cold because you're going to freeze your lungs is a huge, whopping, big, hairy wives' tale. There's no truth to that whatsoever. I mean, yeah, maybe if it gets under like minus 20, and it doesn't matter whether that's Fahrenheit or Celsius because they come together at that point, you know, then you might think about breathing through a scarf or something. But you're going to get frostbite on your lips before you have to worry about burning your lungs. What I run in the wintertime, and here's the other thing, if you're a new runner, and you're running less than an hour, you're going out, chances are you're only going out for a half an hour, 20 minutes, 40 minutes, you don't need any technical clothing. You're going to be back before you freeze to death. So don't worry about it, unless you think you're going to stop and have to walk, because that can be uncomfortable. But when I first started running, or before I got into some longer distances, I just wear sweatpants, sweatshirt, and just dress in layers like you would for gym class in seventh grade. It's going to do the same thing. But the difference is that stuff is going to get wet. It's going to hold the water, the sweat, and it's going to freeze against your skin, and it's going to be real uncomfortable. But if you're not out there that long, your body heat's going to keep it from freezing, and you're going to be back before you get into trouble. When it gets really cold and you get some longer distances, here's what I wear. You got to have a good pair of winter tights. Makes all the difference. Nice, thick pair of winter tights. Go on to, you know, any website. You don't have to pay a zillion dollars. Go on to Roadrunner Sports. I think they're $45, somewhere around there, for a nice, thick pair of winter tights. Make sure you get the size right, because you don't want to be showing a lot of skin in the winter. The other thing, most important thing, I find, is a fuzzy hat. I get your plain old whatever, nylon, Dacron, you know, whatever they're selling at the department store, fuzzy hat. It's also good to get it as an orange or a red in case you're running in the woods and there's hunters, a double purpose. But the nice, thick, fuzzy ones, and that you can roll them up and roll them down to regulate the heat on your head, but you got to keep your head warm. If it gets really, really, really cold, and I'm talking single digits or below Fahrenheit, I might wear my fleece balaclava, which is a ski mask that has basically a hole for your eyes and your mouth, and that's a great piece of equipment for when it gets really cold. And I say fleece because the fleece will wick the moisture away from you and won't freeze on your body. The other key piece of equipment in the winter is a fleece sweater. This is what you're going to wear over whatever your layers are underneath. So your fleece sweater, the one I like to get one with long voluminous sleeves that I can pull my hands into if it gets really cold, a zipper down the front, the half zip or the full zip, so if the sun comes out and you get hot, you can zip it down and let some air in, and a hood. Most of these don't have hoods on them anymore for some reason, but the hood is great. If it gets really nasty or windy, you can pull the hood up and cinch it up so you're just looking out a little eye hole, and that does wonders for keeping the temperature in. And then under that, I only wear a single layer of long sleeve technical. Now, granted, I'm probably going faster, working harder than a lot of you guys are, but that's what I wear. You can put on two layers, three layers, whatever you like, but I usually wear race shirts that people have given me, you know, for running a race, a long sleeve shirt. So that's what I wear outdoors. The final part of this is gloves. I don't wear any special technical gloves. If you go to any cold weather large race in New England or the Northern Territories in the wintertime, they're going to have these cotton gloves for sale. They're like gardening gloves. You can use gardening gloves. They're nice and light. They're nice and soft, and they will keep your hands warm for the most part. If not, you can pull your hands into the sleeve of your sweater. I'm typically wearing those. I don't wear any tech gloves or anything like that. I like those because you can, I don't mean to be gross, but you can blow your nose in them, and you can, they hold the sweat, but they don't get cold. They're nice. I know people who run with, if they have that really cold hand syndrome, I think it's called Raynaud's syndrome, they put those pocket warmers, those chemical hand warmers inside, and they wear big, puffy, warm gloves instead of the little gloves, but that's an exception. For your feet, I just wear my normal shoes. Some people will get these things called toe caps, which is basically a piece of fabric with a strap that you can put over the toe of your shoe to keep the wind out if you've got really breathable shoes. I don't wear any special socks. I wear my regular socks, and That's it, man. I do have technical underwear, but that's a whole nother story. I don't wear layers. If it gets really, really nasty out, I might wear a pair of bike shorts underneath or over my tights. But that's it. That's it. It's pretty simple, and it's not going to hurt you. I have done speed work at -5 in Quebec City in a parking lot. It's not going to hurt you. You're more likely to twist your ankle stepping in the ice than you are to get frostbite because you heat right up. And what happens is the water wicks away from you with that technical clothing, and it freezes on the outside. So I'd come in with these, you know, big, you know, hunks of ice on the outside of my clothing. And I ran this one race down in Martha's Vineyard, this 20-miler, where it was so cold that when I finished, I couldn't even move my arms. My sweater was so frozen. So that's my cold weather running tip. I know too many, but there you go. Bye.
Well, let's see what you're making there, boy. Looks like Sony Pop. Watch it, fails.
Down on Thunder Road. I know. Don't sing. When I was down in D.C., I met up with Iron Man Bobby, who does a video podcast, and he interviewed me. I'll be on an upcoming show of his, so you get to see what I look like. So look up the Iron Man Bobby podcast on iTunes, and you can get that. I'll let you know when it goes up. Also, we have started planning for the 2010 version of the Groton Road Race next April, which is the big local 10K, 5K, etc., that I'm one of the race directors of. So if you're interested in sponsorship or learning more about that, it's a nice event. We draw close to 2,500 direct participants, and we touch several thousand more. So give me a call or send me a note if you're interested in learning more. For that matter, if you're interested in sponsoring this podcast, hey, go ahead, give me a call. I've set the format up to be able to drop spots in. I could easily say, this week the Run Run Live podcast is brought to you by Vegemite, the Australian wonder food. Or, you know, something like that. You get the love and affection of all those, what is it, what did we say, 2,500 odd runners, and I do mean odd, running folks who download this show each week. You could add them to your prospective customer list, and frankly, I'm a little tuition poor right now with the kids. So, you know, the prospects of that new mountain bike for next spring are starting to dim, and I could use the help. I have switched to Gmail. So feel free to shoot me a note at CYKTRussell, that's Chris Yellow King Tom Russell, two S's, two L's, at gmail.com. And also, to keep me from embarrassing myself anymore, dial in and read the intro. Have some fun with it. The other big news is that I'm planning on upgrading my website and moving it over to WordPress, thanks to Albert. You know who you are, Albert, and he's going to help me, right, Albert? And he also wants to give away some free WordPress, WordPress blogs. Say that 10 times fast. So we have to figure out how to do that in one of our upcoming shows. Next week, I'm interviewing Ashley. And Ashley's a wonderful young lady who's planning to run across the United States for multiple sclerosis for her mother, and she's really got her act together. It's quite an interesting interview. I think you'll like it. To take you out, I want to talk about unicorns. On Twitter this week, I said a perfect race is like a unicorn, and if you find one, you let me know. And that's really it. Out of the 27 or so marathons I've run, you know, perhaps 3 or 4 would I consider excellent races, perfect races, great races where everything went right. And even then, the moment was fleeting. If you had asked me at the time, I probably would have told you I could have done better. Once you understand that perfect races are like unicorns, they're magical beasts, you know, they can't be captured, they can't be kept in captivity, they can only be glimpsed through the trees of our efforts. That race is an event, but you're training, you're running life, that's the journey. So enjoy the journey, and don't worry about the unicorn. And we'll see you out there, my friends. Tonight, the music was actually sent in by someone, Schnitzel, who had a question about knee pain and threw in a song as well. I guess it was like a peace offering. It's called Bedliner, and it's also available on the PodSafe Music Network.
Nice girl, but about as sharp as a sack of wet mice.
The moon and the trees and the honeysuckle filters the breeze. And I never set my heart on it, cause I don't know what I get out of it. But it matters, and it matters a lot. southern states don't have summers like these. And the sunshine on the northern hills looks lovely from Chapel Hill and from Carborough. Better still, I wish you would dance like that for me. I wish you would dance like that for me. Give me a sleepy pill. A warm pie cools on the windowsill. And you know you've been searching for whatever it is you're searching for. Maybe I don't have to answer for it anymore. Me. When we started, there were only three. And I never stopped to turn around or ever thought to count again. 'Cause I just keep forgetting where I've been. Well, anyone can drag through a Friday. Anyone could drag through a Friday. Absorbs a storm like a truck bed liner. And the Outer Banks dissolves away while Richmond trains are turned away. So goes the rumor of today. It no longer matters what we've done or where we still haven't gone. A cold harbor is neither. A wish for a chance like that for me. Yeah, I wish for a chance like that for me.
For listening to the Run Run Live podcast, comments and suggestions can be made on our listener comment line at 206-339-7804 or via email at chrisrunner@runrunlive.com. That's our website. Go to the website, check it out for articles and my blog and other great stuff. If you would like to be on the show, or have a suggestion as someone you would like me to have on the show, drop me a line, and I will see you out there.
Run, run, live. the podcast for all your running needs.